what I usually do, but we made it. We've been having some interesting times down at Castle. I don't know if everyone's just being so healthy lately, but our population in our hospital has been running about 50%. And I've been teasing just a little bit that we probably should close the wellness center because it's doing too good a job. But we've been doing some interesting things. A year ago, when we had a spiritual emphasis week, we had prayer overhead, public prayer, at 8 in the morning, 8 at night. And we did it for that week, and people were going, oh, this is great, can we do it again? So this year we did it again, and we just haven't really stopped. So we've been having prayer every morning at 8 o'clock, every night, 8 o'clock. We try and make it to match the day. We're going to have more of the staff who are going to be praying because we realized a couple months ago that we're the only faith-based hospital left on the island. With St. Francis closing and then reopening again as a for-profit hospital, Castle has a unique mission and opportunity. And our mission statement is caring for our community, sharing God's love. And there's just a lot of neat things that are happening as we're trying to reach out and share God's love in our community. One of the things that we do every year that's so much fun is the Christmas gifts that we are able, the units kind of get together and have this little, it's not really a competition, but it really is a competition to see who can get the biggest basket. We get names of families, we get needs listed, and these usually come from our home health care nurses or some other agencies, and then we gather gifts for them. We had one family that it got to be a bit of a discussion in the department because one group wanted to give one thing and another group in the same part wanted to give something else, and it got to be a kind of an ugly argument because they ended up one group saying, well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to do this anyway. And then they laughed at each other and had a good time. But we ended up taking 13 bikes down, new bikes, to kids, and you should have seen the kids' faces. And we delivered those on the 23rd, and I reminded them that they could not ride it until Christmas morning, and they go, uh-huh. And I'm going, yeah, right. But we get many opportunities to reach out and share. We have a program with volunteer chaplains where we have chaplains who come in and visit as volunteers, individuals. And they go from room to room visiting because our goal is to meet every patient that we can. Not just in patients, but patients who come into emergency. When you figure that we had 26,000 emergency room visits last year, that's a lot of people to contact. But not only are we just trying to be there for them, but to let them know about a God who loves and a God who cares and is willing to make a difference in their life. When I was listening to Elder Williams talk this morning about his opportunity to witness walking across the park, I was reminded of our newest chaplain. Some of you may know her, Auntie Angel. She used to work at HMA. She's retired, and she was thinking, what can I do, what can I do? And she just about went to Queens to volunteer as a chaplain, and someone said, well, why don't you go to Castle? And we said, yeah, we can take you. It took about that long to figure that one out. But she came, and she was saying, you know, I don't know what I'm going to say to people. And so the first day she came, she says, okay, I'm ready. And I said, are you nervous? She goes, yep. And I said, so what are you going to say? And so she said, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. And I said, well, let's practice. So we just sat in the office. And this is something that any one of you could do. Because going in as chaplain, I don't want anyone going in and just talking to the patient. There's some very important things that we have to learn. And these are important things that we can learn and do in our own place of work, our own families, our own homes, and that's we have to listen. If we don't know why the person is hurting, how are we going to tell them specifically about how God can help them? Our scripture this morning talked about God hearing our cries. When we started talking, I said, Auntie Angel, tell me what you're going to say. And she said, well, how are you? I'm Auntie Angel. I'm the chaplain here, and I'm going through visiting all the patients. And I said, well, stop right there. She said, what? What did I say wrong? I said, you didn't say anything wrong, but you weren't listening to me. And after we talked about listening and then responding to what the person is saying, she says, well, that's easy. I can do that without worrying at all. And each one of us, as we go through these opportunities that God places in our life, whether it's in the park, in the town, in the parking lot of the church, in the driveway of our house, when we listen to what people are saying, there's a lot of scared people out there, a lot of anxious, nervous people. We just saw another news story about another 245 people that are losing their jobs. And people are going, well, if that happens there, what's to keep it from happening to me? Is my job secure? Is my pension secure? And so we have to ask these questions, but we have to be willing to listen to God speaking to us and saying, okay, Dave, be quiet for just a few minutes. They're saying something important. Then you can share. When we sang this song this morning, this was a song written by Charles Wesley, And Can It Be? It's not one of the more popular songs, but I love this story that's in here. This is a story about Peter in prison. Remember when he was being imprisoned and the angel came to him at night. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I arose, went forth, and followed thee. That is what God asks us to do, is wherever we are, to let it flame with God's light. And that's where we come into our sermon today about Dependence Day. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we ask that you will hear our voice, hear the cry of our heart, hear our thoughts, and reach out and give us your peace. But now as we talk about your love for us, help us to remember that you are there. Thank you for hearing our prayers, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the quotes that came from the Sabbath, from the Adult Sabbath School Quarterly on for Friday, July 11, talks about how we need to be ready to do different things for different people. When I was in an academy back in Wisconsin, we were taught a series of proof texts that we were supposed to write into our Bible so that if someone asked us a question, we could give them just a row of texts and prove to them beyond a shadow of a doubt that the person's question could be answered. Ellen White and Gospel Workers, the Review and Herald, once again, Gospel Workers and Sketches from the Life of Paul, and I'm going to kind of condense these four into this one statement, but if you're questioning what I'm saying or you don't want to look at it again and study it, go to Friday, July 11th to the Further Study section where Ellen White talks about how we need to study the opportunities that lie before us and then be ready to reach out and match that need. Adventist Community Services discovered a number of years ago that when they responded to a disaster, that they were showing up with loaf of bread, and they used the term bologna, although I'm sure it was veggie bologna, and passing out sandwiches to everybody who was in trouble. But as they looked around, they noticed that all the other relief agencies were all doing the same thing. Everyone was showing up with their slices of bread and slices of bologna and passing them out. And there was a lot of bologna going around in more ways than one. And so they began to work together and coordinate their efforts together. And now if there's a flood like there is back in the Midwest, immediate call goes out for the Mennonite Church. The Mennonite Church specializes in draining and mucking out basements that have been flooded. No other organization tries to do that job because no one wants to do that job. But you get all those strong young German backs and they know what to do and they know how to do it safely. Adventist Community Services has the reputation for handling warehouse. They have been able to unload tons of material, which some agencies have said would take a whole work week within an 8-hour time frame, because that's the specialty. Working together, coordinating our efforts and learning our job, and listening to what the needs are is something that helps. Originally, I gave this sermon on July 5th in Haula, and I was playing on the Independence Day and Dependence Day theme, but I want you to think for just a few moments, what does it mean, the fact that we are here worshiping today? What is God saying to us, and what is it in turn we need to say to those who are around us who are asking questions? Our scripture this morning talked about, or our call to worship talked about depending on God and trusting in Him. And if you'll turn back to Psalms 55, I want to add just one more sentence from verse 23. The psalmist is saying, you know, things are bad, but I'm placing my trust. I'm casting my burdens on God. And then he ends it by saying, in verse 23, the last sentence, but I will trust in you. There's a lot of information flowing around us today. Major talk show hosts are promoting things that go against everything the Scripture teaches. They're talking about the God within each one of us, so we don't need a Savior, we don't need a personal God. The Bible is under attack like never before, although we probably don't realize it. The Sabbath is under a very insidious attack. In fact, if you go into any store that sells calendars, I would challenge you to look at calendars and notice that about half of them have changed. Sabbath is no longer the seventh day in many calendars. It's been quietly and without any fuss been moved to day six. People say, well, the Scriptures, the Bible, is just a series of books that were written. I was taking a course in a seminary in Chicago from a Jewish rabbi, and he made this statement that when mankind ceases to exist within another 10,000 or so years, he was a little nebulous about that fact, but he says when mankind ceases to exist, God will also cease to exist, because God is just a creation of man's need for some higher power and authority. Friends, that's not what the Bible is. That's not what God is. I was chuckling during Sabbath school with discussion about the Big Bang creating something. Well, yeah, smoke and ashes. That's usually what Big Bangs create. But yet, we've convinced ourselves that that's what created life. That's what created our world as we know it. I was reading yesterday that diamonds are not only a girl's best friend, but they're probably what created life, because they attract moisture, and moisture attract, you know. We have all these ideas and figures and thoughts about how life began here, but we can't go back to the fact that God said, I created this world. I did it in 6 days, and I rested on the seventh day. People say, why do you keep Sabbath? Because God commanded it. It's one of our beliefs. It's one of our values. It's one of our goals. There is an interesting story that a friend of mine sent me from Loma Linda newspaper. In it, the writer of the story is talking about what it's like to live in Loma Linda. And he says, you know, and one another unique thing about it is they all go to church on Saturday. So you can get out and do your shopping without all the crowds. But don't go out on Sunday, because they're all out. People know what we're doing. They see what's happening. They see us and they ask questions. And sometimes we panic because I might say the wrong thing. I might blurt something out that's incredibly stupid. Yeah, I might, but God won't. And sometimes He takes my words and gives a message to the person that I had no intention of. I didn't know what I was saying. But God takes those words, and from my mouth to the person's ear, a miracle is performed. I can't rely on that. But as we look at this message of a Sabbath day, one of our beliefs as Seventh-day Adventists, we say, well, what is there about this day that makes it special? Why is it so special? I want to thank June for making these little handouts. I'm going to put them on the back table back there, because this was done by Mark Finley in the Adventist Review, and I shamelessly copied it, but I did give him credit. But it's just a little question and answer sheet titled The Sabbath at the End of Time. What does it mean? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for individuals? I want to talk for just a few moments about the Sabbath and what it means and why it's important. Our Creator, after 6 days of creation, rested on the seventh day and instituted the Sabbath for all people as a memorial for creation. This is straight out of our fundamental beliefs as Seventh-day Adventists. This is what the church's official stand is. And we say, well, okay, 6 days of creation and then rest. Why did He rest? Did He need it? Was He exhausted? No, but He knew that with what was going to happen, we would be. But he also wanted to set a special time for us to be together. How many of you have one of these infernal devices? Yeah, I see a few of you. How many of you have problems with it where it goes off at all the wrong times and reminds you right in the middle of an important phone call that you're supposed to be somewhere else? God set up the original appointment, not only in our Palm Pilot, but in our hearts and our minds, for the Sabbath day to be a rest for us. Sometimes people have turned off that beep, that signal, that reminder. But he made it, and it's one of his unchangeable laws that requires the obedience of this seventh-day Sabbath as a day of rest, a day of worship, in ministry, in harmony with the teaching and practice of Jesus. Wow, that's a mouthful there, isn't there? Jesus did things on the Sabbath that really bothered some people. Jesus did a lot of things that bothered people. He hung around with Republicans and Democrats. Well, publicans and sinners, but you know, it goes either way. He hung around with people that just didn't have a good reputation. He hung around with people who really needed to hear the message of a God who loves. It was the ones who wouldn't hear him because they had the truth. They knew what was right. They knew what they needed to do, and they were going to do it no matter what. That came to him and tried to trip him up and to ask him tough questions. But Jesus went around doing good things on Sabbath, important things, helping people, being there for people. And yet he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. It doesn't change. It will never change throughout history. Someone may try and mess around with your calendar, with your timekeeping device, but the Sabbath does not change. The Sabbath is a day of delightful communion with God and one another. Is the Sabbath a delightful day for you? When I was in college, the dean of the dormitory there where I lived was giving worship one Sabbath evening, sundown worship, and he said, okay, you guys, you're already in countdown to victory mode. He says, you're just counting the minutes till Sabbath is over, and you'll be out of here and doing your own. He said, that's the wrong attitude, guys. And we said, yeah, hurry up and get finished so we can get on with our activity. But that message has stuck in my mind. We're so eager for the Sabbath to begin sometimes, and so ecstatic when it ends because we can get back to things. I need to really sit and look at this map on the internet sometime, but have you seen the map of the globe, a picture of the globe that has the sun's rays shining on it, and you can see where it's day and where it's night? I kind of think that in Hawaii here, we're kind of at the end of that 24-hour period of time as Sabbath, where God's Spirit is covering this world in a very special place, especially drawn close to us. Yeah, there's a few more islands between us and the dateline, but we're kind of the end of the Sabbath for him. And how do we spend that time? Is it a time of celebration, or is it a time of sitting there thinking, boy, I need new batteries? Think about that. It's a sign of our sanctification. Sanctification is what God does for us. And because of what he's done for us, we respond with love to him. We don't do it to prove we're good enough to be part of his family. He invites us into his family and says, now change with me. One of the interesting things about Scripture, and there's a lot of Scripture that's under attack now too because people are questioning it because they don't like it. They don't like what it says about themselves and their need for somebody else to figure out, to make them holy, to give them salvation. But there's a lot of people who are trying to figure out how we can get along without it. But when you look at what the Bible has done in hearts and minds of people, it makes such a difference. There is no other book that changes people like this book does. When we follow what God teaches us, when we follow what God tells us, it makes us different. We can't be the same if we're really listening to what he is saying to us. And because we listen to what he's saying, it's a reminder that we are pledging our allegiance to God. That we are saying, I am giving you the credit for who I am, for what I am. and what I'm not. The Sabbath is also a reminder of what our eternal future is going to be like. Have you thought about your future lately? And I'm talking about more than your stocks and bonds and your portfolio and your retirement and your income check, which is usually gone before it gets there. But I would like you just to think for a moment about what the Sabbath says about our eternal plan for our future with God, for the time that we will spend with Him throughout eternity, worshiping Him. Even when we're no longer working in this world, He's still going to say, okay, guys, it's Sabbath. Let's get together. Potluck at my place. Say, all right, God, yeah, you serve the best. But when we think about what God is teaching us now about His future, we say, what does the Sabbath mean for us today? Is it a day where we're filling it with rules of we can or we can't? One of the rules that I always had a problem with in my family growing up is my dad liked to go fishing, and he liked to take his boys fishing with him. We knew my younger brother was never going to make a fisherman, because as we would be standing around the pond in our different spots with our fishing rods, catching fish, we were all intent on fishing, but we'd hear my younger brother going, oh no, I caught another one, and pretty soon he stopped coming because he just wasn't into fishing. But we wouldn't go fishing on Sabbath, but we always seemed to end up by a lake watching the fishermen. That was a hard thing to figure out. And sometimes in our desire to do things, we get just a little twisted from what God has wanted us to be, what He wants us to do. The Sabbath is a day of freedom for us. There's a lot of things we can do, partly because we don't take time during the rest of the week to spend time with our family like we might be able to or should. We don't take time to meditate and talk to God like we could or like we should. God gives us this opportunity. He says, take time off, think about me. The Sabbath is a perpetual sign of His eternal covenant, His love between Him and His people. When you think about the signs that we place around us, you know, just look around the church. There are signs on the back door that say Mother's Room. What does that mean? Well, guys, it means that we don't go in there. That's where important stuff takes place. You know what I mean? We look at some of the other signs that are around us, and we say, what do those signs mean? What do they tell us? God's Sabbath is a sign for us that tells us important information just by looking at it. He's saying, Dave, relax. Take a different look at your life and look and see what plans are that I have for you today. There's a lot of tough Sabbath questions that come up. Should I do this or should I do that? Shouldn't I do this? I better not do that. Sometimes we have to answer those questions for ourselves. And sometimes we have to be ready not to be so quick to, when we see someone else doing something, say, boy, better convene the church board real quick. We're going to have to take some action on this one. Because we don't know and we don't understand what's happening and what's going on in that person's life. I had this pointed out to me very clearly a couple of months ago. Kelly and I went to a restaurant in Kailua, and just as we were getting ready to go in, the phone rang, and it was Pastor Rob, and he had a really important question to ask me, and besides, we weren't ready to be seated yet. So I grabbed my soft drink and was standing out in front of the restaurant, phone in one hand, soft drink in the other, talking with him. Didn't think anything about it. A couple of weeks later, one of my friends at the hospital was talking to me. She says, well, I know you don't eat meat, but I know you drink. And I'm going, what do you mean? She said, well, I saw you standing in front of that restaurant with a glass of wine in your hand. I go, it wasn't wine. We had a very interesting discussion after that. But people watch us, and they make assumptions sometimes by what we do or what we don't do. We have to be careful. I'm not going to be standing out in front of that restaurant with anything in my hand in the future, because if I have a pencil, someone may think I'm smoking. I don't know. But, you know, what people see and what they understand are sometimes different than what we do. So that's why we have to be careful on some of these things, and things that may be perfectly okay, it's probably better we don't do them. But then there are some times when the ox falls in the ditch. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Jesus was talking to the people of his day, and he said, you know, you don't do things on Sabbath, but if your ox falls in the ditch, you go get it out. Right? Right. So why is it that your ox is more important than a person? Think about that for a while. Think about that as you see someone who is really struggling with something. Maybe it's catastrophic. During my chaplain's training, I made one request of my peer group. We were taught that you have to negotiate with your peer group. And my request was, I would prefer not to work on Sabbaths, from sundown Friday through sundown Sabbath evening. And they were really good about it, because I was always willing to work on Sunday when they wanted to go do their churches and their business. In fact, one of them even went so far as to make sure that every time my name came up for a Friday night shift, she took it so that I wouldn't have to. I also told them, though, I said, if there's an emergency and you need extra chaplains, call me. I will be there. If someone gets sick, I'll be there. And they said, okay, we can work with that. And sometimes that's how we have to do the Sabbath thing. The Sabbath observances, we don't plan these things, but if it comes up, would Jesus be willing to go with us to help a friend whose car stalled out on H1? Would Jesus be willing to help a friend who's got that call and said, so-and-so's in the hospital, they're not expected to live, will you come and sit with me while I wait? You bet. Jesus would be right there no matter what. Our lives need to be lives of service. The Sabbath gives us that opportunity to serve, to set aside the things that seem so important during the week and take care of some of this other business. Finally, the Sabbath is a time of, get this, joyful observance. In the film and play Fiddler on the Roof, do you remember where Teviev and his wife are having heated discussion Friday afternoon? They're getting ready for the Sabbath meal to begin. They're going at it hammer and tong, as only Teviev and his wife can do, and she lights a Sabbath candle, and suddenly everything is peaceful and calm. When the Sabbath candle went out, it picked right up where it started from. The Sabbath can be an island in time for us. I don't think the writer of Fiddler on the Roof really understood what they were saying or what they were demonstrating by that concept. But it's a time of joyful observance from sunset to sunset. It's a celebration of God's creative and his redemptive act. He gave it to us at the end of creation. He rested during his time after the cross. And he said, when I come back, we will observe Sabbath together. And you think potluck is good here? Wait till you get there. You think that the food that's served here on Sabbath, where instead of a blessing before, we should have a prayer of forgiveness afterwards for our eating too much, is good? Wait till we get to heaven. Wait till we sit before the throne and God says, here, Dave, I know you didn't like poi in Hawaii, but wait till you taste mine. Wait till you taste what I have promised for you in the future. It's beyond anything that you could ever dream of. When someone comes to you and says, why do you keep Sabbath? Think for just a moment what you can tell them. The joy that it brings to you, the peace that it gives to you, the relaxation, the presence of God's presence with us, that it reminds us that he is really here and will never forsake us and never leave us by ourselves. As we sing our closing song, it's another old song. Both these songs that I chose today are from somewhere in the 1700s. But the message goes through today. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Fill our hearts to sing thy praise. When we depend upon God, when we have that fount of every blessing that comes to fill our hearts, that's when we can worship. That's when we can be creative. That's when we can enjoy the Sabbath in ways that we had not thought about before. I challenge you to try it. Maybe do something next Sabbath or even this afternoon that's just a little different, that brings honor to God and brings glory to his name. Our challenge is to serve Sabbaths, to observe Sabbaths, and to worship on our Sabbath with our God.
Let's all stand for 3, 3, 4. Thank you for that inspiring sermon, sir.
Here's